Well, for more on this, let's bring in NPR's media correspondent, David Folkenflik. David, you heard there what Ryan had to say. How unusual is what happened last night, and what do you make of it?
Well, you hear 18 hours later how agitated and upset Ryan still is, Ryan Riley of the Huffington Post. This is not what we expect to have happen. This is not what you know, if you think about the conversations I've had on the air in recent weeks about reporters concerned about their access in Gaza, you know, from Hamas or from the Israeli side, you know, this is the kind of conversation that we had in this country perhaps during the coverage of the civil rights movement decades ago, but that we don't tend to have here. It is legal to cover things from public spaces where you're allowed to be. And, you know, in this instance, you saw not only the reports from the Washington Post, Wesley Lowery, and from the Huffington Post, Riley, of their being taken into custody and of police essentially trying to prevent them from photographing or recording them, but also of a local news crew several hours later in the dark last night being pelted with tear gas, with beanbags and with tear gas from police. Al Jazeera, there's video showing an Al Jazeera America crew being pelted with tear gas canisters. They flee, and then heavily armed police officers coming up and dismantling their equipment and even pushing down the face of the front of the camera, which seems to me to be quite clear. It's not just that, hey, we need the streets clear. It's we don't want this stuff being recorded. It's very hard in the absence of other explanation, and we haven't had any from police quite yet, to understand what this is other than an intent to prevent reporters from reporting and recording, which is clearly, in that case, a denial of First Amendment rights.
Well, and if you look at the Huffington Post today, the headline is Baghdad, USA. If you look at the Washington Post, you have a statement from Marty Baron, the executive editor of the Washington Post, saying there was absolutely no justification for Wesley Lowery's arrest. On the other hand, as Joe Scarborough of MSNBC's Morning Joe said today, there is another way to look at this. Let's listen.
I've been in places where police officers said, all right, you know what? This is cordoned off. You guys need to move along. And you know what I do? I go, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. I don't sit there and have a debate and film the police officer unless I want to get on TV and have people talk about me the next day.
David, what about that?
Well, there's a couple things wrong with that, and I have a lot of respect and affection for Joe Scarborough. But look, first off, they're doing their jobs. They're not provocateurs. They're reporters, and they were clearly marked as such. Secondly, they were in areas that – they were behind the areas that they were prevented to be. That is, they were in a space that was supposed to be okay on public sidewalks. They weren't on private property. They weren't amid a throng of protesters throwing things. They were simply recording at a distance police, and that was seemingly the trigger for police. That's not supposed to be a problem in America. There are federal rules that apply here. The ACLU has these guidelines, and they say, look, if an officer prevents, you know, you should tell them that you're allowed to record in public spaces, and you should, just as a matter of prudence, essentially comply with police and then try to call either, you know, lawyers with the ACLU or your own press lawyers or what have you. But in this instance, they didn't have a choice. They were – the reporters in this case say they were not warned, and they had tear gas canisters propelled their way, kind of forcing them to choke and flee. That's not what I say a healthy give and take there.
Well, and as all of this was going on, by the way, both Robin and I were watching it all on Twitter. It was all unfolding right there on Twitter. People were able to follow this on social media as well.
And also, David, on some of the cables, you might have seen they were talking to people who were there to cover the protests, and suddenly the whole thing exploded. Just talk a little bit about that, about the social media aspect and just the live aspect of some of this.
Yeah, I actually found last night and in recent days that it's been more useful to follow on Twitter and social media than it has been on cable. It's not a made-for-cable thing. Part of the deal is that reporters have been held oftentimes at bay, and therefore they don't have the pictures. And one of the things we've learned time and again is, you know, a courtroom drama really works if cameras are allowed in, and it's much less compelling for television if they're not. Here, social media, you had people including, you know, as I understand it, an alderman from North St. Louis who sort of acted as a journalist through social media platforms and was himself taken into custody, although there's no allegation he behaved violently or violated the law.
This is so, Mr. French. This is Mr. French. You could follow a Vine of his and see the photos of the entire
absolutely
evening.
Absolutely right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, it's yet another instance in which, you know, the ability to control information may be blocked through one conduit, like a certain kinds of television stations, and yet surface in another. It's you squeeze one part of the balloon and the other swells.
Meanwhile, the hacker group that calls itself Anonymous has disclosed the name of the officer who shot Michael Brown last Saturday. What about that, about some information getting out that clearly these authorities don't want?
Well, not only don't want, but authorities have taken to Twitter to say this isn't accurate, that the name that's been circulated hasn't been isn't the name of a person who works either for the city of Ferguson police or for the county of St. Louis, and therefore it's inaccurate. And they're very fearful that there will be retribution and the stakes are so high. One point I want to underscore here is there are a lot of people who think on Twitter and elsewhere this is special pleading by journalists to worry about their security and their well-being. But think, if police officers feel entitled and able to act this way against journalists for major and national media outlets, how might they act for ordinary citizens, people who live there who don't have big lawyers and big titles behind them to back them up?
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik talking with us about what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. David, thank you so much.
You bet.